Florida lawmakers walk out of Tallahassee 3 days early, but now they're coming back. A look ahead to the special legislative session. That's just ahead. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect is always live on the radio, and now never miss a show. Catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Just ahead, Jacksonville's Marty Fiorentino on what's ahead for the special session in Tallahassee. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Then later, a look at the new strategic plan for the nation's public television stations, plus The Spectator with all this weekend's events, all of that ahead. But first this morning, after abruptly adjourning 3 days early, the Florida House and Senate have tentatively agreed to a special session kicking off June 1st to hash out lingering budget issues for the state. The two chambers left 3 days early after a dispute between the House and the Senate on health care funding. Will they be able to resolve that dispute? Here with his thoughts, we welcome Marty Fiorentino, principal at Jacksonville's Fiorentino Group, a Jacksonville-based government relations firm. Marty, a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. I'm delighted to be here. Great week in Northeast Florida with the players.
It really is. That's the positive news for the week, for sure. And we want your calls right now. What are your thoughts and questions as lawmakers go back to Tallahassee for a special session to resolve their rift on health care funding? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email and tweet the show. We also welcome your comments on Facebook. And so, Marty, you were working hard on behalf of several issues in Tallahassee when it closed out 3 days early. Surprised by the ending of the session?
Well, it was certainly, I think it was surprising. I think even a number of the members of the House of Representatives were, Florida House, were surprised when the gavel went down Tuesday morning. But I think just yesterday, the House and Senate have announced it looks like they're coming back for June 1 through June 20th. So I think they'll be ready to get back to work. Things resolved.
The House Speaker and the Senate leader trying to get together. And of course, the dispute came down to how to fund health care for low-income Floridians. The Senate wanted to expand Medicaid for low-income patients. The House really dug in its heels, said we just are ideologically not comfortable with this. For those who aren't familiar with the deeper issues, can you explain a little bit, based on your friendships and relationships with some of the folks in the House, why that body stood so firm on that issue?
Well, I think they have, as you said, there's an ideological, they have an ideological position on that, and they've come to it through their campaigning and what they heard in the campaigns in the recent elections. And so they do not want an expansion of Medicaid in Florida, and they feel that that's more of the Affordable Care Act. And the Senate has taken a different position, but these are really, really big issues, and I think everyone in the Senate and the House recognize that they affect these issues affect human lives. And so I'm actually glad that both bodies have taken a break and are going to come back and look at solely at this issue and how to address it for Florida. So I think we can take some solace in that, that this is going to be front and center, that both the House and the Senate recognize just how big this issue is and what it means for the budget. Medicaid is 30%, maybe 35% of the state budget. So these are big financial issues and big issues as it relates to human beings.
We'll go to your calls with Jacksonville's Marty Fiorentino in just a moment as we look ahead to the special session at 549-2937. As you mentioned, Medicaid is a big part of the budget. Governor Scott and other members of the legislature have expressed concern that accepting the federal Medicaid dollars could eventually bust the state's budget. What about those concerns?
Well, Florida is not the only state wrestling with this, and it's a big issue nationwide. That is the position that the House and the governor now have taken. I think they are looking at it very heavily from a fiscal response. From an angle of fiscal responsibility. And I think that when the special session gets here, there's going to be negotiation, there's going to be compromise, and I think both sides have very respectable positions. And that's what legislation is all about, the art of compromise. And I think you're going to see that negotiation. And I think they realize that there's something has to be done for the uninsured, for the underinsured in Florida. I think everybody recognizes that. So as I said before, this is a really big issue. And the fact that it's being focused on by everyone in Florida is important.
And how do you see the two sides compromising? You've been at the table for so many of those types of conversations. It's not easy.
It's not. And I don't see, as you said, I don't see their Medicaid expansion in the equation right now. The House has been pretty clear about that. I do see funding for those that cannot afford insurance or underinsured through the low-income program. It's called the LIP program. It's very complicated. But I do see that there will be some federal dollars involved, and there will be some local dollars involved and state dollars. And that program, which was extended last year, the state is negotiating with the federal government as we speak. And I see that program being funded in some way that may be different than in the past, but hopefully it will maintain the funding levels that have existed in the past.
And if you're just tuning in, what are your questions as the Florida House and Senate go back for a special session to resolve their dispute over how to pay for health care for low-income residents here in Florida? We're speaking right now with Jacksonville's Marty Fiorentino of the Fiorentino Group, and we'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. And this LIP issue is of great concern, of course, to safety net hospitals like UF Health here in Jacksonville. The CEO, Russ Armistead, has spoken before lawmakers and said, if you guys don't fix this in some way or another, we're going to have to close our doors. And how has that type of testimony been received in Tallahassee?
Well, it's been received well because it's been given with a lot of candor and truthfulness in just what the facts are. Mr. Armistead has an actual background. I believe he was an accountant or CPA, so he knows the numbers very well. He's been in other states, at other hospitals. And I think the good news for UF Health is that the Jacksonville Civic Council, a group of 70 CEOs, commissioned a study. And you know, what is it with UF Health as far as is it run efficiently? Are there problems? And that study came back and said this is a very efficiently run hospital, and it is serving a critical need in Jacksonville, and it's an economic engine for the community. 6,000 people work at UF Health. So UF Health is a facility that we have to have here in Northeast Florida. It has a long and great history of serving those that do not have insurance or who are underinsured. And I think the local delegation, the House and the Senate, through the efforts of Mr. Armistead and the leadership at the Florida the Jacksonville Chamber with Daniel Davis and John Delaney, and the Civic Council with Ed Burr, have said, look, this is important to our community, not just from a health care standpoint, which is critical, but also from an economic development standpoint. We need UF Health to be healthy. And they've recognized that. And I think our local delegation has recognized that. And we'll be working together in this special session to see that UF Health is not harmed in any way.
And let's go to your calls now as we speak with government relations expert Marty Fiorentino of Jacksonville's Fiorentino Group. What are your questions as lawmakers ended their session early and now must go back in June to pass a budget for the state of Florida and resolve differences in healthcare funding? Give us a call at 549-2937. Noel in Jacksonville. Noel, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to ask a question on the, in terms of funding for education, more specifically state college education and the county school system, high school system education. Has that been resolved by the Florida State Legislature, or is that still a bargaining chip on the table to kind of trade off with the health cost?
Thanks for the question, Noel.
That was one of the five priorities, education funding, that was set by the Speaker and the Senate President when they began this legislative session. It has also been and also is a legislative priority for Governor Scott. So as the budget unfolds and is developed in June, because that's what was not addressed in the regular session, I think you're going to see education funding highlighted, And depending on how this healthcare issue unfolds, I believe education fund, I think they all want to fund education at a very high level. And that was the intention at the beginning of the session. We'll see if that happens in the special session.
549-2937, Jamie in Jacksonville. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I had a bit of a broad question for your guest. As these things go on, as compromise is continuously discussed, there still seems to be an encouragement towards partisanry, especially in the shoes of the governor's office or in the leadership in the House and the Senate. I wondered whether your guest had an opinion as to the future of partisanry, and will it continue to be as gridlocked, or does he see more compromise in the future?
Jamie, thanks.
Hey, Jamie, thank you. Well, you know, there's some that love gridlock, but as far as partisanship goes, it's hard to take that out of our legislative system, whether it's Washington or Tallahassee. I think that it would be terrible for our country, for our state, if everybody thought the same way. I think that's what makes America great, that people have different opinions, different ideas, and different approaches to big issues of the day. So I don't think you'll take partisanship completely out of the equation, but I do think that issues as big as this, that both political parties try to come together, and they might not agree at the end, but I hope they will be, if they disagree, they will do so in a way that's, you know, not as sharp and terse as we've heard in Washington. And I believe that everybody's going to come to the table ready to make something happen.
And we'll keep going back to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. And what's striking about this divide as the members of the House and Senate left town was that in this instance, it wasn't the Republicans and Democrats at odds. It was the Senate and the House, both controlled by Republicans, kind of reflective, it seemed, of a divide within the GOP, that the Senate seems more moderate, the House more ideological. Would you agree?
I think that's a fair assessment, Melissa. And it's interesting, as you note, we've got a Republican cabinet, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate. But I think it goes to just the magnitude of this issue, just how big it weighs on the state budget, how big it weighs on communities, and how much is at stake financially, but also from, as I've mentioned before, you know, this impacts human lives. And I don't think there's a member in Tallahassee that is not thinking about that, that mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we're talking about human beings and their health care, and that's critical.
How do you see Governor Scott's meeting playing with the Secretary of Health and Human Services? He had a conversation with HHS about Medicaid funding, low-income pool dollars, and so forth.
Well, Governor Scott knows he's an expert when it comes to health care. There's no question about that. He has certainly, over the course of his career, had a disagreement with how health care is delivered in this country. He was active when the Affordable Care Act was being discussed before he became governor. He still has strong feelings on that. So I'm glad the governor went to Washington. It's a great thing that he himself went as governor of the state of Florida to sit down with HHS and the secretary there to discuss this issue. They didn't agree. I didn't expect them to agree. But that's the beginning of a dialogue that I think is important.
Peter in Jacksonville. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to comment on the recent comment by your guest about ideology. It may not be a newsflash, but America is not the only democracy in the world. In England, the party in opposition is known as Her Majesty's Loyal Opposition. That means that they still function in the best interests of the country, no matter what their own ideology is. So if things need to be done, they may not be done exactly the way they like, but you still govern. Thank you.
Peter, thanks. So what about the criticism some have leveled against the House that, you know, even if you don't like what you're being tasked to do, you were sent to the Capitol to pass a budget?
Yeah, Peter, by the way, thank you for that lesson in common law. You're exactly right. And we owe We owe England a debt of gratitude. Here's the good news. The bad news is it didn't happen in the regular session. The good news is that there's going to be a step back. Everybody can take a breath, really think about this, and come back in June and begin where they left off. And I think rather than trying to do something in haste or with not enough time, to come back and take the time with something as important as this, I think is a very positive thing.
Mark on the South Side. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just want to point out that your guest is sitting on this panel and like basically sugarcoating the fact that our legislature could not do their job in the time allotted them by law. So instead of sitting on the panel sugarcoating things, can you, as the guest, break down to us specifically what the hangup is in Tallahassee and give us some names? Tell us who is obstructing. Tell us who's fighting for the people. Stop sitting there sugarcoating and saying, here's the good news, here's the good news. Tell us what's happening in Tallahassee, why everything is breaking down.
Mark, thanks.
Mark, let me comment on that. And we've said this before, the House has a very strong opinion that they do not want Medicaid expansion. The Senate has said they will address Medicaid expansion with a program that was developed, frankly, by Senator Bean from our area. And the governor was against Medicaid expansion when he was elected. He then said he was for Medicaid expansion, at least left the door open last legislative session.
And then he changed his mind
again. And now is against it.
Why has he changed his position?
I think that his feeling is that over the course of his negotiations over the last year, he had an issue with how the federal government was addressing this issue and were they linking it. And that's what his lawsuit's about, which he's just filed. And it was linking accepting Medicaid expansion and linking that with lip pool funding for the state. So you're right. There is a lot of discord within the party, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that that's a good thing, and I think that that's going to result in this issue being highlighted in a way that it's not been highlighted before. And again, Florida is not the only state wrestling with this.
Definitely not. And, of course, a number of states have been hostile to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and the way these funds are now being delivered. Do you think that now, though, that this law has been upheld and the funding mechanisms have changed dramatically, do you think it's inevitable that at some point the legislature will have to accept the Medicaid expansion as more states sign on?
Well, it's the law of the land now, and I do think that we're going to move closer toward that. I also think that there is there are a number of shoes to drop. You know, national lawsuits that are taking place, this suit that the governor has filed, and so a lot will take place in the court of law. But in the meantime, it's the court of public opinion, as the previous caller pointed out, which is going to come into play.
Sure, yeah. And it's interesting hearing the callers. There's a lot of frustration with just the way this session ended, I think is fair to say. Let's take one more call, and then we'll ask you about some other topics like Uber and craft beer, which I know you were working on too. Hey, Jim in Riverside. Jim in Riverside, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. In the opening, your guest stated that both sides of the issue had respectable positions, and I wanted to find out from your guest what is respectable to him about shutting down the legislature and risking the preventable man-made disaster of shutting down safety net hospitals across the state.
All right, thanks, Jim. And thanks for taking these calls. I think we're getting some really unfiltered opinions this morning.
Well, this is a very critical issue, and I think people should be. I'm glad people are tuned in and concerned about this. Like I said, the good news is the budget doesn't go to bed until July 1. The legislature has a constitutional requirement to pass a budget, and to deliver a budget, they will do that. I feel comfortable in June, and I can't imagine that there's anyone in the legislature wants to close any safety net hospitals. As I said previously, they serve a very, very important and critical role in our community, not just for the excellent care that is given at those facilities, and particularly here at UF Health Jacksonville, but also the economic impact on our community with those 6,000 employees. If there were a company in Jacksonville with 6,000 employees that was in danger of shutting down, the community would be up in arms. And like I said, I'm delighted that the Jacksonville Civic Council, the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce has taken on the health of our safety net hospital as their leading legislative priority. So the community, I'm glad people are listening and are going to fight for UF Health and the role it plays here.
And we'll go back to your calls in just a moment on this issue. But of course, Marty Fiorentino, you were in Tallahassee working on some other issues too. One that a lot of people I know would like an update about, Uber, the wildly popular ride-sharing service. The legislature was looking at a transportation bill that would have set regulations all over the state for Uber because, of course, as they come into a city, they have to go back and forth with the local government and figure out how they can operate. Now, that didn't make it through, obviously, because the session ended early. But how do you see the road ahead for ride-sharing services like Uber in the state of Florida?
Well, I see that the future for Lyft and Uber and other ride-sharing services is very, very bright. Big issues like this sometimes that affect local communities where there are local laws impacted sometimes take a while. I'm delighted that the state finally freed the growler. So all of you craft beer fans out there, Florida is now our craft breweries are able to serve your growler and you can take it home, and that's great news. I think Uber the same thing. Whether it's this session or the special session, I understand, by the way, that there's an online petition that Uber has created, and there are 20 or 30,000 people have already signed on. So I hope all of you will go to that and sign on and say we want ride sharing throughout the state. So I think the future of Uber in Jacksonville and in Florida is very good, whether it happens in this special session. It didn't happen in the regular session or next session. I think it's something the public uses. They're demanding it. And it's great, a great, great service for not only adults, but young people as well.
Yeah. And when it comes to those growlers, I know you were working on behalf of a local craft brewery, Intuition Ale Works. They were one of the loudest voices on that issue, going to the state capitol and saying, this is what our customers want.
Well, they were. And Ben Davis was at the forefront of this effort and recognized that the craft brewing industry has just exploded in Florida and all over the country. So again, it goes back to economic development. These are small businesses that are growing, hiring people, and for Florida not to be able to dispense the growler and other states to do that, it did not make any sense whatsoever. It was hard to argue for it or against it. It happened because it was just it's common sense. And so good news for you growler fans.
And let's take a few more calls for Jacksonville's Marty Fiorentino. Let's go to Patricia in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Patricia. All right, Patricia.
Issue?
Yeah, go ahead, Patricia.
And I think I have the best solution of all. I say the taxi companies are small businesses, and they're competing against a multi-billion dollar venture-backed company that wants to go public to cash out as soon as possible. I say deregulate the taxi cabs. These drivers should not have to go through CPR training, drug testing, and all of that. They shouldn't have to have regulated fares when Uber drivers can charge anything they want. And quite frankly, I think it's unfair competition. So deregulate the cab companies and let them operate the same way. It's simple, it's easy, and it's fair. And I'd like to know what the gentleman thinks of that. Thank you, Melissa.
Okay, thanks, Patricia.
Patricia, thank you. I'll tell you what I think. I think free markets create great economies. So I'm with you. Free markets are what it's all about. I think that's what the growler issue was about, and I believe that's what the ride-sharing issue is all about. So I think you're right on point.
And going back to the healthcare issue, it comes down to how you see the way the market should interact with our healthcare delivery system. I mean, isn't that sort of at the heart of the House's opposition to expanding Medicaid. It comes down to an ideological divide over how the two sides see how we pay for, how we deliver, how we regulate healthcare in this country.
Melissa, you're absolutely right. And we're seeing changes in healthcare just like we are with ride sharing and taxis and Uber and Lyft. What we're seeing is new technologies. What you used to have to go into the hospital for, it's no longer the case in many instances. So you're seeing the rise of surgical care centers. Telemedicine is being debated. All of these things are being debated along with the delivery of health care from the federal dollars, the state dollars, the local dollars. And so there's a big change going on in the healthcare industry, which will continue to occur. And that's going to be all a part of this debate and this discussion as technology evolves and new forms of medicine, new ways to deliver medicine become more commonplace.
Well, we will look forward to your updates as they go back into session beginning June 1st. Marty Fiorentino is principal at the Fiorentino Group. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
And much more still ahead later in the hour, The Spectator, with all those weekend events, plus a conversation with guitar legend Jose Feliciano as he performs at Romanza in St. Augustine. But up next, the new strategic plan for public TV. That's right after this here on First Coast Connect.
Be Jacksonville's next mayor. Jacksonville has distinct neighborhoods with unique issues and priorities, including growth, crime, traffic, and investment. Find out where the candidates stand. WJCT has teamed up with First Coast News and the Florida Times Union to present a debate with mayoral candidates Alvin Brown and Lenny Curry. Listen to Face, Brown versus Curry, Monday, May 11th at 7 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT FM.
This summer, WJCT will introduce several new programs to our weekend schedule. We want your help deciding which new shows come to the First Coast. Starting May 10th, tune in Sundays at 1 o'clock for a special preview of The Moth Radio Hour, Snap Judgment, Wits, and Studio 360. Help us decide what you hear on 89.9. Get more information at wjct.org/weekends.
New name, new look, great information. Join us for our annual Women's Health Conference, Girls Day Out, August 15th, Hyatt Regency Hotel. Good for You is a day of celebrating women's health planned just for you. Great speakers, great food, health screenings, and so much more. Hosted by Baptist Health and WJCT. For a complete list of speakers or to purchase your tickets, log on to WJCT/goodforyou. Makes a perfect Mother's Day gift.
Relax around the clock with the music of your life. Playing great music from Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald to James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, and more. Relax Radio, WJCT, 89.9 HD3. Learn more at wjct.org/relax.
Never know how much I love you.
Welcome back. Well, the Association for Public Television Stations, or APTS, has a new strategic plan and new goals for creating more opportunities for advocacy by working with local stations like WJCT to help tell their local stories and maximize their impact on their communities. I spoke about it with CEO Pat Butler.
Well, we're very excited about the ability of public television stations to make the most of their spectrum and their new digital capabilities and in fulfilling their public service missions, which are education, public safety, and civic leadership. And in education in particular, we've been very successful over the last several years in building up a lifelong learning continuum that starts with early childhood education, which everybody is familiar with from Sesame Street and other iconic programs like that on public television. But in addition, We've launched a new initiative as of about 4 years ago called PBS Learning Media, which takes the best of public television programming over the past 40 years, plus material from the Library of Congress and the National Archives and other good sources, and turns them into standards-based, curriculum-aligned, interactive digital learning objects. And we've done about 100,000 of these over the last 4 years, and we now have over 1.5 million teachers and 30 million K through 12 students signed up for PBS Learning Media around the country, and it's been a transforming event in the American classroom, and we're looking forward to building on that success and doing even greater things in terms of classroom education. We're also helping about 40,000 homeschoolers. We have a series of virtual high schools around the country, and we have the usual adult enrichment that comes from our prime time educational programming in history and the sciences and so forth. And so we feel that this is sort of the realization of a dream that we've had for a long time, and digital spectrum allows us to realize that dream. And in Jacksonville in particular, we've been very fortunate to have some far-sighted leadership from Michael Boylan and your board and so forth at WJCT in terms of maximizing the efficiencies that are inherent in our system. WJCT has been a leader in developing a joint master control initiative, which allows a lot of our stations around the country to operate jointly the same system and save money and create efficiencies in the system that help our stations and their viewers. And this is just the beginning of what WJCT is doing, because their technology and their interest in consolidating some of these operations with other stations is making it possible for us to share programming and do a lot of things that were much more difficult to do before WJCT got into the act. And so I'm coming to WJCT and to Jacksonville to celebrate their progress and to encourage more of it and to encourage others in our system to follow their lead.
Absolutely. Hopefully that will take place, and it will be a model for the entire industry, right?
I certainly hope so, and that's the way we're planning it, and we're building a What Works clearinghouse here at the Association of Public Television Stations to enable all of our stations to follow the good lead that stations like WJCT are creating in your market, and Las Vegas is creating in its market, and there are lots of other success stories around our system, and being able to replicate and adapt those success stories in all of our television markets is going to be a big part of the work of our association and our system going forward.
Pat Butler, a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much, Melissa.
And that's Pat Butler, the CEO of APTS, the Association for Public Television Stations. Back in a moment with The Spectator and our own David Luckin on the growing demand for relax radio. That's next.
This week on Jazz Night in America, a celebration of prestige records at 65 and a salute to legendary jazz recording engineer Rudy Van Gelder.
It's a certain sound that he gets. Rudy has a sound. Rudy Van Gelder has a sound.
Drummer Jameson Ross leads the band, and he's picked some of his favorite tunes from the prestige catalog. This week on Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
The Dinosaur Train is rolling into Orange Park. Thrasher Horn Center and WJCT present Jim Henson's Dinosaur Train Live, Buddy's Big Adventure, on Tuesday, May 12 at 6 p.m. See the beloved stars of the hit PBS series come to life on stage in your hometown for the first time. Join Buddy, Tiny, King, Don, and their family and friends in this fun-filled, interactive musical trip back in time. Tickets are on sale now at 904-276-6815 or thcenter.org.
Follow what's happening at WJCT even when you're away from your radio. You can follow WJCT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can listen live online to WJCT-FM at wjct.org/listen, or on iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio. And you can hear all of your favorite WJCT-FM shows anytime on demand on iTunes and Stitcher. Wherever you are, WJCT is there.
Morning Edition is awake around the clock to bring you the latest news.
It's 2:10 in the morning, so still 5 hours left.
The hosts are usually here around 3:30.
You have Ophibia at 4, and it's about the Boko Haram ISIS news over the weekend.
Crunch time is 4 a.m.
until 5 when the show starts.
Hit it. Open.
Good morning, I'm David Green. With
Morning Edition. Up all night to bring you all you need to know. Listen tomorrow.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on 89.9.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome back. Well, if you have an HD radio, you can listen to this kind of music all day long on our HD3 channel, Relax Radio. And the demand is off the charts. I was in the mailroom yesterday and I saw people packing up hundreds of HD radios that you, our listeners, are clamoring for. Our own music director, David Luckin, is here to tell us all about Relax Radio and how you can get it, too. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. People who didn't get the radio, who didn't participate in our pledge drive, can just visit us at WJCT.org and click on the icon there to get their own HD radio. We're getting emails and calls. People are wondering what the schedule is, and we'll remind folks that it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, music of your life, from Francis Albert Sinatra to Michael Bublé and everything in between. So it's a great news service and news at the top of every hour, so we can keep you well informed and then we can help you forget it.
You know, you and Sean Birch and Alan, our engineer, have done an incredible job creating a brand new radio station out of thin air. It is just amazing. In a matter of a few weeks, you built this programming option for people who were just devastated when Jones College Radio went off the air in Jacksonville after 60 years.
49.
Excuse me, 49 years. I don't know where I got 60, sorry. After half a century.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And so you sat down and said, I'm going to create a new station. I'm going to put together standards, the kind of music people listen to on Jones College Radio. But you've mixed in a little bit more modern sound, too. Tell us a little bit about the hybrid of Relax Radio.
It's really a mood. It's not really an era, although it is the music of your life. It goes from Glenn Miller all the way up to Michael Bublé and Melody Gardot and new people. So we just created an environment of a nice, mellow place to be. And we threw in a lot of great oldies and some Motown and some Beatles. And there's fresh music, too. There's people like Coop and people we play in the electro lounge that aren't so electro, but just nicely relaxed. So it's really wide, and there's a lot of light jazz. It's not going to be Ornette Coleman and hardcore bop, but there's some nice jazz, some nice oldies, and the Great American Songbook. So it's a nice mix, and we're not afraid to put in new music.
Not at all. And what's the reaction been from people who have been listening?
People have said it's addicting. People said, I haven't heard that song in 30 years.
Oh,
people
wow.
Say, now, one person, our host of Doo-Wop Revival, said, I hadn't listened to the radio in years. And now every morning I go to the driveway, pick up the paper, and I come in and have my breakfast and listen to Relax. So we're reaching a lot of people, I think, who haven't listened to the radio in a while. And because the variety is so big, there's nearly 2,000 songs, there's not a lot of repeats. Which is really nice, too. It's not
Absolutely.
8 o'clock, so it must be this song. It's changing, churning all day, all night.
Now, let's take a minute to explain again to folks that we have several HD radio channels here at WJCT. And right now, if you want Relax Radio, if you have an HD radio at home, great. You tune to our HD3 channel. You go to 89.9 and then click it two dots to the right.
Right,
two clicks over. And then you look for HD3 89.9. Now, if you don't have an HD radio at home or in your car, we will send you an HD radio if you pledge with us. And a lot of people did that during our pledge
Over
drive.
500.
Yeah.
Over 500.
Now, what about in people's cars? Because people ask me that question all the time. I want to listen to this in my car.
Most of the new cars have HD. Ford has had it since 2007. BMW has it. Lexus has it. Toyotas have it. If you have a little HD little icon on your radio face, you know you got it. And like you just said, Melissa, once it locks on HD, you can go one click to HD2, which is classical music 22 hours a day, or a repeat of this program at 8 o'clock every night, along with Fresh Air. One more click, you're on HD3. And we won't be parochial here. You can get all the other stations, too. It's not exclusive to just our station. Most of the stations have sub-channels, too. So get yourself an HD radio. Once you start listening, the best part of HD is its CD quality.
It really is. The sound is so crystal clear.
Absolutely. And even though we're playing a lot of old music, some of the old music, it's all just sounds better than ever. It's been remastered so much of the classics.
And you keep adding new songs to the catalog, right?
Every week.
Every week.
We've got another 100 songs to upload now. So our goal is to have at least 2,500 songs, and then we may take a break.
If you want an HD radio so you can listen to Relax, just go to our website, WJCT.org, and find out how you can contribute. We will send you a radio in the mail, and you can start listening right away. Let's get those requests up to 1,000 this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for giving us the time to explain to folks this new music service.
And he's our own music director, David Luck, and the creator of Relax Radio.
You know who's here with me? Carrie's here.
Yes, I know. Well, we're going to come back to her in a minute. She's on deck, as they say.
Certainly is.
And we'll be right back with The Spectator.
WJCTNews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTNews.org.
This summer, WJCT will introduce several new programs to our weekend schedule. We want your help deciding which new shows come to the First Coast. Starting May 10th, tune in Sundays at 1 o'clock for a special preview of The Moth Radio Hour, Snap Judgment, Wits, and Studio 360. Help us decide what you hear on 89.9. Get more information at wjct.org/weekends.
Welcome back. Well, from Menopause the Musical to ZZ Top with Jeff Beck, lots to do across the First Coast this weekend. Here, as she is every Thursday, to take us all around town, we welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, Jacksonville Magazine's Carrie Speckman here today. All right, now, before we talk about the weekend, we have to discuss something very, very important.
I can't wait to hear.
You, spectator, witnessed activity going on at the Shipyards property as you drove over here this morning.
I did, and I thought, what is all of that that I didn't even know was going on?
What were they doing? There were men doing things.
Probably women, also. They have cones blocking off the road. They have fences. They have big tents and all kinds of stuff. It's Jacksonville Funk Fest.
It's an event.
It's Funk Fest.
It's Funk Fest.
Funk Fest.
Is that this weekend?
R. Kelly, Two Live Crew, T-Pain, Dougie Fresh. Yes.
Okay. So they're just getting ready for that. It wasn't Shad Khan's henchman like prepping the site for his vast new development.
No. Or the guy who wants to build Noah's Ark.
Yeah. That was not that.
No. Friday and Saturday.
Okay. So that's happening this weekend. Now, before you get into your list, I want to talk about something that inquiring minds really want to know about. The opening of the Legoland Florida Hotel. That's coming up May 15th.
I did not know that.
Down in Central Florida. Every parent knows about Legoland, right? Well, now there's this incredible new grand opening of their hotel. Coming up next week, the hotel has more than 2,000 Lego models inside of it. Here's spokeswoman Brittany Williams. Take a listen.
When they come out to the opening, they're going to be greeted by a smoke-breathing dragon. He's made out of 445,000 Lego bricks, and he weighs 1 ton. So he is kind of like hotel security, we call him. And then once they enter the hotel, it's highly immersive and fully colorful, and it has four themes for the rooms: Pirate Kingdom Adventure and Friends. And we have Brick's Family Restaurant. We have a disco elevator. The whole place is really built for kids. So from the moment the kids step in, they really take the lead, and the parents just kind of follow the kids on their adventure.
And that's the Legoland Hotel, grand opening May 15th, Spectator.
I'll put that right on my calendar.
No, you will not.
My cats really don't like Lego. So.
Oh, no. Okay, so let's talk about this weekend. Walter Parks and Crucial Eddie Cotton coming today to Mudville.
Do you remember Pretty Boy Freud?
Back vaguely, in the day? Vaguely.
I don't want to know why vaguely. Like, you just don't remember, or...
It's part of it.
Anyway, Eddie was like, the singer for... That was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And he's playing with Walter Parks, who's also from Jacksonville.
Very nice.
And, yeah, it's a... I don't give Mudville very many plugs, though I should, because they do awesome stuff.
They do. Go see that tonight.
Yeah, that would be a great show.
Okay, and then Thursday through Sunday, it's... Oh, my goodness, it's back. The Change. Menopause, the musical.
the musical.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, I'm not old enough to go to that, but...
Yes, you are.
I'm not menopausal.
I don't mean that.
But I was thinking, like, I think I could probably relate to all of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's all late. It's lady stuff. I wonder how many guys will be
there. It's a ways down the road for you, yes. Yeah,
thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for
saying that. Quite a ways.
Times Union, Thursday through Sunday.
Okay. Friday night, it's Nitro Circus Live. Sports at the world's best action sports athletes.
Best. Not just any.
Not just any.
The best. They're going to be doing motocross, freestyle motocross, BMX, and skating. Crazy stunts on contraptions like tricycles and snow skis and bathtubs. Even a Barbie car.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, really. Right. It's the first time it's ever been in Jacksonville. Okay. Friday at the arena.
All right. That's coming up Saturday. Get on out under the bridge to the Riverside Arts Market. You, the Spectator, now doing a little promotion
for
them.
Well, this is one of the biggest events of the year. They have the Pooch Parade, where they walk the dogs through the market. And they have a canine costume contest, which is always very entertaining. And lots of – there's always dogs at RAM, but they're all just – it's just fun.
Now, let me ask you, when you think of Jose Feliciano, what comes to mind?
Chico and the Man.
Besides that.
Isn't he blind?
He's blind,
and he
yes.
plays the guitar.
He's a guitar virtuoso.
I feel like I'm playing Scattergories or something.
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, yes.
That's his big hit.
I think more Chico and the Man.
All right. Well, he's coming Friday night to the St. Augustine Romanza Festival.
Ooh,
he's the headliner, actually. I spoke with the great Jose Feliciano about the show.
I'll be doing songs from yesterday, but also new material, because one of the things that's kept me still here is the fact that I don't rest on my laurels, and I don't believe in giving people the same old show. I like to add new things to it, especially songs that I've written and that are going to be released soon. Like, for example, I have a new song that I just wrote and recorded. It's from the series Texas Rising, which will be shown on the History Channel on Memorial Day weekend. And I'm looking forward to that. It's a big to-do. And, of course, I have a couple of albums coming out. I have a Spanish album coming out. And I also have an album dedicated to Les Paul, to his birthday, and so that's coming out.
The great Jose Feliciano.
Feliciano.
Yeah, Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano.
He's coming Friday night. Now, go see, it's Don't Dress for Dinner, right, at Theater Jacks?
Yeah,
it closes this weekend.
I just want to let everybody know. It's an evening of hysterical mix-ups of epic proportions. I'm sure hilarity will ensue. It closes this weekend, Sunday. So.
Speaking of hilarity. What will you be wearing to the fancy pants party?
That is a very closely guarded secret, Melissa. Mainly because I don't really have anything at this time.
You don't have any pants that can be seen from space? I don't believe
that.
Yes, I don't believe that.
I do, but can I get into them anymore?
Oh,
no.
I see. It's
but no, like I will. But yeah, Fancy Pants is the official after party of the TPC. I mean, the Players' Championship, excuse me.
Excuse you.
And have you ever been? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I regret to say that I have never been to this party, which is ridiculous.
It's because awesome.
I need to go.
It's in the lot. It's called the lot.
Yeah,
and
right.
A lot of people are probably like, ugh, I don't want to drive in all that traffic. But there is no traffic because you're going the opposite way, you know, from the traffic. And everybody's already leaving. So, and it's super fun. They have a live band.
Is it Saturday night or Friday
night? Saturday night.
Saturday
night.
And
it's a benefit for Blessings in a Backpack.
That's Jim and Tabitha Furyk's.
Yeah, so actually Jim was there last year, which I hope he's not this year because then that means he made the cut.
You know, I had a high school teacher that wore those kind of pants every day.
Well, they
were
cool.
I'm not kidding you. I swear to God.
Were they Sansa belts?
I think so. I do. I actually think so.
Oh, wait. We have to give away tickets.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's do that.
So we have two tickets for Fancy Pants. It's Saturday at 6 p.m. It's benefiting Blessings in a Backpack. They will have food trucks there. I believe with your ticket, you get three drink tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good deal. You're helping Blessings in a Backpack. Who knows what celebrities could show up?
You just never know. You might even bump into the Spectator.
You might.
Now.
Oh, the Shoe Cam will be there.
The Shoe Cam will be there from Jacksonville Magazine.
The Shoe Cam will be there.
We have another ticket giveaway. It's a pair of tickets to see Old Crow Medicine Show at the St. Augustine Amphitheater Saturday night, May 16th. If you want the pair of tickets to this show, we will pick a winner at random who emails firstcoastconnect@wjct.org.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Could we have somebody call to win the Fancy Pants tickets? Are we allowed to do that?
Give your number.
I'm not going to give my number on the radio.
Well, then what are we going to do?
I will put it. Go to my face. Go to the Spectator Facebook page.
Okay.
I thought like a caller number 59. I knew it wasn't going to be 59, but.
We're almost out of time.
Yes,
but,
go to my Facebook page.
This weekend is also ZZ Top, Jeff Beck, and Lisa Loeb.
With Flagship Romance.
With Flagship Romance out in Ponte Vedra.
Yes.
Go to the Spectator's website or Facebook page to get the full list of weekend events and make sure you get a selfie with her at Fancy Pants Saturday night.
And Armada plays this weekend.
And the Armada plays this
weekend,
too.
And Tim McGraw's tickets go on sale.
Lots going on. Get out and enjoy Players Weekend and follow Carrie on Twitter at The Spectator. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Diane Reams up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.